This roundtable episode is brought to you by Trails Off Road. Trails Off Road, they make the best off-road trail guides. The Trails Off Road team maps trails and creates a highly detailed guide so you can choose your type of adventure. From the beaches of the Atlantic and Pacific, or the Great American Deserts, all the way from the highest mountain passes. If you are going to Moab, they have the best information on the trails you plan to drive. You can find overlanding, backcountry roads, or rock crawling trails that suit you. Visit trailsoffroad.com right now for a 7-day free trial. And if you're a Jeep Talk Show Patreon subscriber, you get a big discount to sign up for their subscription service. Promo code subscribe to Patreon to get it. Oh, and by the way, I recently had a Patreon subscriber reach out because they weren't able to use the Patreon code there from the patreon.com website or app, and contacted Todd of Trails Off Road, and he said that all you have to do is go to the website to sign up for your trailsoffroad.com subscription. Don't try doing it from their app. Like if you go to trailsoffroad.com on the app, don't use it there. Go straight to the website. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to all our new listeners and our regulars to the Jeep Talk Show Roundtable. I'm your host and excited to have you here for this special gathering of passionate Jeep enthusiasts. So in tonight's episode, we'll be asking you, what have you lost, damaged, or ruined from your Jeep? And I would think that would mean, well, I guess it could mean anything. I'm thinking off-road, but I guess it could be anything, couldn't it? Do you wheel often with the same club or group? 35-inch, 37-inch, or higher size tires, is the height worth the loss in articulation? I didn't know there was a correlation between those two things. I guess if you bump stop it, or if you have less travel, upward travel with a larger tire, not increasing the lift, that could be an issue. Oh, and what is your off-road pet peeve? You know, we all have them. What is yours? You know, you can submit your questions for the roundtable. Just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact to find out how. Hey, whether you're a diehard Jeep enthusiast or just starting to explore the world of off-roading, we're thrilled to have you here as part of our discussion. Please consider joining the discussion by being part of our weekly Zoom meeting. Just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact to find out how to join. All right, to our roundtable meeting attendees, please introduce yourself with your name and location the first time you speak tonight. This will help the listeners know your voice when you speak. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the faces of many of the people that are speaking tonight. So I encourage everybody to, what would it be? Engage, but to consume this show via our YouTube channel. Hello, Zoom people.
Good evening.
Hello.
Lots of friendly faces. We got a few new faces here tonight, a few names, new voices. Welcome. Glad you guys could make it. I my understanding is we have several new people here from Chip's invitations.
Well, a couple, maybe.
That's a high percentage when we normally get about 20, 25 individuals on the round table here, Chip. So that's good. Thank you.
And Jamie invited some people, too.
Yeah, Jamie's been advertising for us. Did you start yesterday, Jamie, or was it all today? Because you did it several times today.
This morning and before 7, like just around 7 o'clock, and then at 8:30 tonight.
Well, Jamie, you know what that means. You need to tell us about Girls Play Off-Road, because you can't get away just by promoting us. We got to help you promote as well.
Oh, I love you, Tony. So I'm Jamie. I am the founder of Girls Play Off-Road. It is not just for girls. We are a family-friendly, all off-road vehicle group. We are nationwide, headquartered in Pennsylvania, but have chapters in a whole bunch of states: New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I am actually, if anybody knows anyone, I need help from the Jeep Talk Show listeners. So Girls Play Off-Road, we started and we had someone come that wanted to run Georgia. So I opened a chapter and she has backed out. So I will go male or female, someone who is an off-road enthusiast who is open to organizing events at least once a month to take the reins. They will get some free gear from us, and it's they get 20% off of Girls Play Off-Road merch, and anything that they sell through their chapter, they get commission on as well. So I'm not asking anyone to do anything for free. But Girls Play Off-Road is about off-roading. We follow the lines of E3 Off-Road, where we educate, empower, and entertain. I am the village idiot. And we give back to a lot of people. We do a big charity event where we collect prom dresses and help clothe the underprivileged teens of the coal region of Pennsylvania. And it seems as though that mission is picking up in other states to help teens go to their proms. So there's just a whole lot of fun stuff. I would like a free weekend off, but I don't have, because Girls Play Off-Road comes first.
Hey, you knew what you were getting into. There's no complaining now.
Oh, I'm not complaining. This is just, you know, don't. It's like Jeep Talk Show when you first started. Did you think it would be as big as it is? You know, it's one of those things. Oh, I have an idea. Okay, maybe it started as a wheeling day, and it's grown into something, and it's a blessing. It's something I never thought out or thought that I wanted. And then, like, someone said, oh, start an apparel company. No, I'm not doing apparel. And now, of course, we have apparel and doing all of that, and we'll be launching a website and all of this great stuff. So it's amazing, you know, when you're helping people and just doing the right thing, the blessings that are given to us.
Yeah. Well, you never know whenever something you might think of or try will strike a nerve for, in a good way, for several people. And obviously that's what you guys have done. So congratulations and continued growth.
Thank you. We're having a good time. And thank you, you know, for having me on the show. I think it's almost 2 years now from when I came on as a guest, and to now be, you know, a regular on this. You know, I love it. I look forward to this on Tuesday nights. I just tell everyone how much fun it is.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's all the people that join. I'm just sitting here enjoying myself, listening to other people talk. I talk at the front and talk a little bit in the middle and then at the end. So, and I love it that way. I don't have to be the focus. All right. So let's get to the first question. I'm not going to explain this. You guys can answer it however you understand it. What have you lost, damaged, and ruined from the Jeep?
Well, I'll jump in. This is Chip from Illinois.
Okay.
I think probably one of the, I don't know, it's a bigger deal, but my alternator got caked up with mud and we couldn't get it cleaned out. So I had to replace an alternator, and I've been through a lot of trees that were really tight together. So I've had to put new fender flares on and replace those. So those are minor things. But for the most part, I tend to upgrade the Jeep so that I avoid damage that's going to keep me up from finishing the trail.
Mm-hmm. Forward-looking type stuff.
Yeah.
Do you learn from others' mistakes? Maybe other people that ask questions as far as what should I do? I broke this when I was doing this, and you go, oh, maybe I should look at that.
Well, yeah, that's why I upgraded to chromoly axle shafts right away and went to press it and gust my Dana 44s and went to a stronger drag link and tie rod and upgraded track bars and upgraded steering knuckle. I guess I did damage a steering knuckle and had to have those replaced, but it wasn't catastrophic. It just caused some issues. But, but yeah, mostly like when I see somebody break something or if I hear of a weak link, I go in and try to address it preventatively. Not so much that if I was just going out and playing, that's one thing. But again, if I'm trail guiding, I don't want to be the guy that's broke down on the trail.
Oh, yeah. No, certainly. It makes you look like maybe you don't know what you're doing. Why should I follow you?
Well, I don't know what I'm doing, but yeah.
Rick from Arkansas. I've had a few things damaged or messed up on the trail. First thing I had messed up was kind of climbing up a shelf and somehow managed to touch both of my drive shafts at the same time, which caused both of them to twist and basically implode. So I got to experience that, replacing both of them. You guys might remember I had a little incident with a little bit of water, and that ruined a few things on my Jeep. But
didn't you lose ducks?
Yeah, unlike Steve-O, I was able to fix mine my own self and drive it home. and everybody knows the story about that Moab. I broke an axle shaft, so I've had a few things, but. You know, I've been doing this for 2 years now. I mean, brand new for 2 years, and love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Steve from Aurora, Illinois. I can't say I've lost anything on the trail, but I do know someone that lost some SD cards.
We have my husband is on as Coal Region Apparel, so I'll let him give the list of all the things that I have broken on the trails.
Just. Steve, what about that engine?
I don't know what you speak of.
Yeah, okay.
I've broken quite a few drive shafts. My axle hub covers, I blow those off often. I play in too much mud.
So I'm thinking you need to start working on the Jeep yourself, and maybe the damages will go down. I bet your husband agrees.
Shush.
No, absolutely not. She actually wheels very well. The problem is she plays in a lot of mud, and it gets in places where you don't want it. So, I mean, she's gone through, we're on her fourth front drive shaft. Three of them were Adam's drive shaft. And one of them I had rebuilt twice. So
I love my drive shafts.
Wheel bearings are like a bad apple for her.
Keith from Wisconsin, I guess one thing I lost in the trail is I was trying to shoot some video, so I set it wasn't a GoPro, but I set a camera down on the trail and figured everybody would not go right there. They'd just ride right over it, you know, right the center.
Jeez.
And lo and behold, one guy, he had to pick a different line, and he went right over that camera. But it made some great video. Still damaged the camera, but I got the video.
Yeah, that's the one thing you hope, that if the camera gets run over, at least can the video at least be saved. So, yeah, that's good. Did the camera still work for you after that, or was it a goner?
Oh, the camera was a goner.
Yeah.
This is John, Central Texas. I think the biggest thing I damaged was I bent my flanges on the rear axle shafts, even though they were chromoly. That was last Thanksgiving out at... at a hot springs, so I've since taken care of that as an issue. But it wasn't just the axle flanges. I also took out the ring and pinion. All the bearings one shot. It made that really bad whirring sound driving. I did change the fluid out and still drove it all the way back 9 hours back home, taking a lot of stops. But that was able to nurse that all the way back to home from the highway.
And now you can buy that axle on Facebook Marketplace, right?
You can. It's been totally rebuilt. It's got brand new axle shafts, brand new ring and pinion, new master install kit, everything. So all the problem areas are gone.
This is Kevin from DFW. I broke a front axle shaft, which in turn broke both ball joints, and then released the outer seat. That was a party.
So how'd you keep it from sliding out?
We ratchet strapped the C back into place and then basically just pushed the front axle through, I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 yards of trail to a clearing. And then we went and got my dually and trailer and wheeled it up the trail. Put the Jeep on the trailer and then wheeled it all back down.
There you go.
Hi, I'm John. Girl Scout Off-Road. I guess I take the cake on this one. I took out a 4.0 liter my YJ, eased it up, and then my last time wheeling, I broke a track bar.
Ooh. Oh, don't go in with him.
What caused the track bar to break?
It was actually a XJ that we had just picked up. The track bar was extended and welded together, and I was like, oh, it needs to be replaced, but I was trying to figure out what else was wrong with the Jeep because we had just picked it up for a buddy of ours.
Right.
And I was like, let's just go out and see what the weak links are. That's 15 minutes into the trail. I couldn't steer right or left because every time I steer, it would just push the axle. So I ended up dragging the trailer into the woods, lifting it back out to the trailer with ratchet straps holding the axle plate, and I put it up on the trailer and towed it home.
Well, that's kind of the opposite of me going proactive to you saying, let's go pound it and see what breaks.
Yeah.
It was a good buy. I bought it for $1,600, $1,650, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lifted. It's great. I wanted it, and I really should not be buying a third Jeep right now. So Fudgy, who's listening tonight, he's on with us for the first time. We bought it, and then he bought it off of me. So we're just going to get it back to being like a great Jeep so that he could use it more often and come up from Virginia and not have to use his leased electric Jeep. So, Budgie, I'm putting you on the spot. So, we're getting everyone into the Cherokees. I like them. I'm loving my shitbox.
Huh?
Speaking of Cherokees, couldn't help but notice Rich, true to tradition.
Oh, the wheels are off.
He's actually overachieving. It looks like all four of them are off.
Yeah, all four of them are off this time.
That's one way to rotate them.
Well, we were discussing, do you just take that one passenger front wheel off every time for the show just to make it look like you're working on the Jeep? Or?
No, actually, I usually just do the one just because. It's fun. I like people to question what I'm doing. And this time, I really wanted to change things up and do all four of them.
Ah.
Yeah, nobody had that on the card for the win tonight. It was either on or off.
Yeah. See, you guys all make the bets on whether or not the one tire is coming off.
Right.
So this time I decided to throw you all for a loop and do all four. So no one wins the bet.
So the pool is going to have to change to 3 and 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right. So the question is, have you lost, damaged, or ruined? What have you lost, damaged, or ruined from your Jeep?
This is Andy from Utah. I've managed to twist a U-joint or break a U-joint, ever how you want to say it, once, and that was enough. And what else? I had a front sway bar. Got, I don't know, too much flex, and it flipped around, so I bent the sway bar.
Ouch.
What else?
That had to have been an interesting one looking at it. Wait a minute. That didn't look right.
Luckily, I'm not the smartest guy around, so I had plenty of people around that were. We just took it off and went with that. I got a Rubicon, so it was... I still had the electric disconnect on there, so we just took it off and finished double Sammy and then triple sevens. I don't even know what we were on. It was July 4th and really hot, so we wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, bad.
And...
That's some name dropping right there, double Sammy and triple sevens.
A little bit.
Travis here. So the YJ, growing up with it since 92 is when I bought it, I've lost more stereos courtesy of weather and rain because I would not put a top on my Jeep to save my life, no matter the weather. And I didn't buy marine grade at first. I do now, and I haven't had zero issues since, but I've lost more pieces of stereo equipment for never having a top on. The YJ, I've lost exhaust on the trails. I've lost four-wheel drive on the trails. I've lost now in the 4XE. I still got the YJ, but in the 4XE, I had one duck one time, lost it out the side of the door. I've lost cameras and gimbals left and right out of that Jeep. I'm holding them. I put them in a passenger seat. I don't realize it, and they're gone.
Wow.
It's just, I set things down, and I'm like, and I lost that camera. I'll go back and look for it. I can never track it down. I don't have the best vision, so me trying to find it, even radioing back to people, I've never been able to recover anything out of the Jeep once it's fallen out.
Everybody likes following you, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I got a new GoPro.
So there's a wonderful invention that came out in, I think, the 70s, Travis. It's called Velcro.
Everything's been Velcro.
And then you can just have a big Velcro panel on the seat next to you. And then if you put the Velcro on the items, you just stick it on the seat and has a good chance of staying there.
Travis needs to invest in
AirTags. No. Not on the cameras. I've got a drone.
You'll lose those too, huh?
Lately. The drone I've been using a lot lately, and I've got a...
Well, it follows you, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, it follows with a beacon.
With the beacon,
I had it. It's separate. It sends its own little signal, so I don't have a controller out. I don't do anything. I've got the beacon, and I lost the beacon outside the Jeep. So I ordered a second. It's one thing after another. I mean, I'm type 1 diabetic. I wear a CGM, continuous glucose monitor. I've got it taped up on my arm, and I'm hanging out the side of the Jeep the other day, and I pull my arm back in, and boom, there goes my monitor. I'm like, that's a few hundred dollars down the drain. You know, it's one thing after another. I lose things out of the Jeep left and right. I've always given people a hard time for not taking tops and doors off. And I don't know if it's age or where I'm at in life, but I'm like, I might not take the top off as quick as I usually do or the doors off as quick as I usually do, even though that CGM I lost courtesy of, you know, my arm and the window. But it's just, I lose things left and right.
So hear me out here, Travis. Now, if you took some, I don't know, that 550 paracord and tied it to your items, and then attach the other end to a nipple ring, you would be alerted instantly.
Instantly.
He'd end up driving off the road and they'd come to save him and he'd be all tied up in paracord.
I've got a 360 camera that I used this past weekend, and it's a magnet mount, and it's a rare earth, extremely strong, but then I've got a 3M like GoPro little mount next to it with the string connected to the two. So if the magnet does come loose, it did not. At least I've got a cable connected to the 3M tape, which I'm hoping, and I'm trying to be more proactive and not losing items because it's expensive. It adds up quickly.
So you're saying you lose them ahead of time, being proactive.
I'm hoping now I will not lose it now with the 3M tape and... I'm trying to be proactive from losing previously.
If it's always out of your passenger seat, have you lost any passengers?
I've not lost a passenger yet. Knock on wood.
It's up to them to find themselves.
They've got to hold on. As long as they're holding on, they're good. But I'm not rough riding. If you lose something in the passenger seat, it's when you're getting back up to speed and it's rolling out. If you're going slow on the trail, I'm not truly... lost it, but it's your service roads, it's getting off the trails when you're back out. That's when things are flying out. And everyone's lost ducks. Everyone in this group, if you've had a duck, I've had one. My career, I've had one duck in there, and it was, she was gone. She gone. I've got a rat from old days, old rat bastard days. I've got a rat up front. It's not moved out of the little pocket I've got in the top of that JLU. It sits there solid. And I'll still be a rat bastard.
Very, very cool. All right, so last call for what have you lost, damaged, or ruined from your Jeep?
This is Bob from Colorado. I wrecked a radiator when we were out in Moab this time.
You've done a lot more than a wrecked radiator, but go ahead.
That was the last thing. So, yeah, we were doing an obstacle. I come down backwards and didn't know that there was a loose bolt.
You were going backwards?
Radiator. I did, and it was not even through water. So, yeah, I wrecked a nice cold case aluminum radiator doing that.
Are you going to be able to get that repaired? I think you were going to try to see if somebody could fix that for you.
I'm going to check. I've got another radiator that I have to have some work done on, so I'm going to see if an aluminum shop or a radiator shop that does aluminum radiators can fix it or work on it. So if not, it goes in the recycling bin and gets replaced later. Not the most expensive screw up I've had on the trail, so. Mm-hmm.
But you're going to do all six bolts, clips and bolts on the new one, right?
Yes, there will be six clips and six bolts in the new one. They're actually up on the toolbox waiting to go in it.
Yeah, Bob has a TJ that you can see there in the back. And I might say, or I must say, actually, the proper color TJ.
It was what was there.
Come on, Steve's listening. He's cringing already. Got to play along.
Oh, I'd take a red over a blue.
That's fine. Sucks. You're not worthy.
You know, my problem isn't losing stuff. My problem is not being able to find anything. I buy stuff and then I put it someplace and I never find it again.
Well, that's the wife's fault. She keeps moving it around.
It's not lost. I know I have it. I just don't know where.
You ever go to order something from Amazon and it tells you you last purchased it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and you're like, I knew I had one, but where in the hell is it? Fuck it, just order it again.
Well, now I know what it looks like, so I have a better opportunity to find it, yeah.
You know what's really bad is when you buy a second of something that you can't find, and then you go to put that one away after you get it, knowing that, you know, I don't want to lose this one too, and you, lo and behold, you find the one you bought the first time because you're putting the second one in the same damn spot.
That's right, absolutely. And that's why I go and look at the picture of it, because sometimes I won't remember exactly what the packaging looks like, and then if I put see the colors on it, it's easier for me to find.
That stupid radio antenna adapter, I bet I bought at least four of them things, and then I can't find them when I need them.
So last place you look, so just go there first.
Yeah, I've tried that, didn't work.
All right, for our next question, do you wheel often with the same group or club? And I think that several of the people here are going to say yes, and it's the Jeep Talk Show group. But maybe these are other groups. I know, Chip, I know you do with other ones. Go ahead, Jamie.
Play off-road. Come on. Really?
You say that, and I'm going to go wheel with you guys in October, but I've never wheeled with you prior.
You got to wear a dress. Travis, you got to wear a dress.
I'll put a dress on. That's fine.
Or at least a tutu on over your jeans.
Are you going to borrow the dress from Mandy?
I'll borrow a prom dress from Mandy, and I'll be set. I'll go wheeling in October. But it's, you know, I will go wheeling with other groups, but I typically, and I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry, Jamie, but I typically go with the same group over week in and week out. It will vary because I'll have, hey, in October, I'm going to go wheel with Girls Play Off Road, and I may meet more local people that I'll then have the opportunity to go wheel more with. You know, this past weekend, I was wanting to go wheel, and I'm asking my club and group, and the ones that I typically wheel with, and no one was wanting to go. The day of Sunday, all of a sudden, we had five that wanted to go out, and it ended up being two of us. One guy
Do you wheel with FMC at all?
FMC? No, ma'am. Yep.
They're a great group down in North Carolina.
I don't even even, and I'm a part of every North Carolina group and club on Facebook, and that one doesn't ring a bell. So I'm going to have to do some research.
Yep. I'll message you who they are.
Okay.
So, Tony, you started. Go ahead, Travis.
What? Just, you know, it's everybody in Texas, like, I hear the stories that it seems to be the repetitive same people, not new people coming in or new names, because I hear the same repetitive names. And I think that's a lot of the same, you know, unless there's one off, you know, who's doing it and how are you doing it? You know, I can go to the outpost and meet people and go wheel with them. If I like them, I stick with them. If I don't, you know, deuces, I'm out. But that's that question. I did submit these questions. I might have been drinking the other day. Submitted some questions for Tony. But so, I want to be educated.
Tony, you were kind of calling me out on the front there. So, yeah, this is Chip from Illinois. I love wheeling with the Jeep Talk Show guys, you know, whether it was Easter Jeep Safari or getting together with Larry or Steve-O or some of the guys and going to the Badlands and I, you know, hopefully get tagged up on some others. It's just people you kind of get to feel comfortable with. You know, there's a local Jeep club that there's a core group of, I don't know, six or eight of us that will go periodically. You know, some of the times they just do rides over the road, like they went on a covered bridge ride Sunday. I couldn't join them for that, but it's kind of fun to be on the roads and drive through covered bridges and then go have a couple beers afterwards. But probably the biggest group is the Jeep Jamboree people, because doing the jamborees themselves, a lot of times you build relationships with the other trail guides, and then you build relationships with participants. And then there's about, I don't know, 20 of us that get together once a year that are somehow affiliated with Jamboree, where we go and get together for our own little group outing somewhere. And so it tends to be a lot of the Jamboree people are who I'm hanging around with or asking questions on upgrades or trail recommendations or those kind of things. So you get a core group of people, right? And Jeep Talk Show has been a great avenue for that as well.
I think there's a core group that you kind of fall into from a, if you have common, you know, common availability. Like, I know the folks I go with, we most of us work in the same company, so we kind of have a similar availability, like time off and everything else. So it makes it a little bit easier to plan things. You know, we're live in the same area, so it's close to the same park. So like, you can kind of fall into that commonality. But I know, again, the Jeep Talk Show, quote unquote, club, you know, we like to get together and kind of sync up. So we've done the Colorado runs, doing a lot of meetups, not necessarily at big events. We met up at Hot Springs. You know, we've had a lot of good times wheeling with the Jeep Talk Show folks. So I would probably say outside of my local group here, it's folks like Larry and Bob and a few others that I've had a chance to wheel with, and Rick, of course, that are fun. I mean, we all kind of
a common interest.
Yeah, we have a common interest. And I think the other side of that too is when you go out to wheel with a group, sometimes it can get a little bit unnerving because you don't know if they're going to go try to tackle Mount St. Helens or something, or try to climb Everest. Like, you're like, I want to make sure I'm on the same level of what we want to conquer, right? I don't want to just do a dirt row, but you know, I'm not looking to break my stuff either, especially if you're daily driving or whatever. So I think that safety net is what it kind of becomes.
Getting to have confidence in who you're wheeling with, right? I mean, whether it's guys that they're going to grumble if you go over anything more than a 2-foot shift in elevation, the guys that are wanting to climb up a straight 12-foot rock wall, their chances of flipping are 50-50. I mean, you don't want to be wheeling with that guy that's doing it just to show out, and he doesn't care if you break something or not necessarily. Or maybe if you like to wheel like that, maybe that's the group you're hanging with. But having confidence in them, and then also who's spotting you, right? Yes. If you don't know anybody in the group and somebody's spotting you, do they know what the hell they're doing or not? You know,
more than just know what they're doing, know what they need to tell you. So if you wheel with somebody, you know, hey, if I bring them on this line, they may be able to make it, but it's going to throw them way off camber. And maybe it's somebody who doesn't like that, right? Or if I put them on this line, it's going to make them really steep. And so You know, you kind of trust that when you go out with that group, they know, you know, what not to lead you into, because they know where your skill level is. They know kind of what you're, what you want to stay away from. So
I think that's one of the hardest
meeting things. Meeting the people you're willing with. Like, I know the guys that I day in, day out will with, they know me personally. They know me socially. And they're going to push me, but they're not going to push me beyond my limit. I trust them with my life and spotting me, you know, and that's a relationship you built on a personal level, because again, you go out to, you know, your local meeting point to where you're heading out, hitting the trails. You don't know that person, and they could potentially push you harder, you know, something you're not comfortable with. I want to hit hard. I want to, but I also have my limits. I do daily drive my Jeep. You know, this isn't the YJ going out. This is, you know, my new Jeep, and I trust my guys on they're going to get me through what I need to. But I'm following JK's, you know, on 37s, running through these lines that JK on 37 is going to do amazing. My bus will do amazing, but there are certain points where I have to be very observant of that line they're leading on. They've also called me off certain lines. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to run this one. You are going to do this and just hold up a bit. And we're going to jump out and spot you. It is that relationship you've got to build and just, that's what I was wondering, you know, because I do typically wheel with the same group over and over.
That's where so if we have listeners that are sitting there thinking, I really want to go off-road. I don't want to go by myself, but I don't know anybody else that wheels. You know, where do you go? And that's where I think that these events, whether Jamie, it could be a Girls Play Off-Road event, or it could be a Jeep Jamboree, it could be a Jeep Adventure Academy, it could be that Trails 101 or the Tilted, Tilted Trail, Tilted Jeep Trail Guide or whatever. Find somebody that's leading a group that has a reputation and go with that group to get a taste of it, right?
So if anyone hears of like someone that's going out in a different state that have never gone before, you know, I think any of us, if they just let us know, you know, like I've got enough members throughout the state that I could get them set up that, you know, they're not going to go out by themselves. We right. don't want anyone to go out, break, be scared, hate it. You know, like there's so much to love about this amazing hobby. I mean, expensive, but amazing hobby of ours. It's so empowering and like, just awesome to see I've been chasing different waterfalls for 2 weekends. It's been unbelievable. Things that I've never would have done, you know, if it wasn't for off-roading and learning how and taking chances and being with the right people. I didn't guide this weekend on Sunday, and it was great to play tail gunner and see, you know, get to sit back and actually look at what's around me.
But when you say you're chasing waterfalls, now that I have to make a point here. My wife heard that there was a trail that had a really incredible waterfall on it, and she signed us up for that trail thinking we were going to see water coming down a cliff. When in reality, the waterfall that they were describing was the waterfall of the rock structure coming down the trail. And she was very disappointed. I was very challenged, but it was fun. But when you use a waterfall term, is that, were you saying truly waterfalls where water's coming down that you were seeing and chasing, or waterfalls on trails?
This is truly water coming out of the side of a mountain from like the top going down. And then at BF Ben Franklin Range, so there's a bunch of them, and there's a lot of creek crossings and everything. And on one of them, it's truly like a side-by-side came down it. You know, and there it's a waterfall trail where you can drive your Jeep up a waterfall. It's sick. So things, you know, I'm from Long Island, New York. We don't have this sort of thing. So Saturday we had an event at one of the local zoos where you do a drive through safari. I think we were 18 Jeeps, you know, to drive through that and to have animals up close. And then to, you know, to follow that, chase that up with, you know, waterfalls and mud and self-recovery and all sorts of things. But it's because I take those chances and I go off-roading and I'm with people that I trust. So for those that have not done that, have had that opportunity yet, this Jeep Talk Show Girls Play Off-Road FMC. Great places, you know, all of these Jeep Jamborees are such fantastic ways for newcomers to get involved, just to put their toes in and for people to take them through a newbie day and teach them what to do.
It's just get out. I mean, the more you meet people, you're either you're going to carry on a relationship and meet people like I've done with the Jeep Talk Show and everyone here has, because you are interested in the same facts. You like the same ideas. You like the idea of wheeling, and it's meet those people. If you don't like them, you're not going to be back. You know, it's simple and plain, but yeah, just get out and go wheel and meet people. You're going to have fun.
You know, I want to jump in here real quick. You bring up an interesting point about meeting people and getting along with them or not. And I don't know. I think a lot of you guys remember the forums back several years ago before the overtaking of the new social media. And the forums were really bad about people making snide remarks. I mean, it happens in social media today as well. But what bothered me was the admins and the moderators on these forums. Would not clamp down on that stuff. I mean, you want people to post on your forums because that's how you get people to come to the forums. And if you do not allow people to talk or express themselves in a calm and respectful manner, then you just it just turns people off. And I found whenever I started up xjtalk.com that I didn't have to do anything to people. I didn't have to threaten them or whatever. You just kind of set the standard as what's acceptable, and you don't embarrass them if they do something that's out of line. You take it and take them to the back and just discuss it with them like you would anybody that you're trying to show respect to. And I'm seeing the same thing here with the Jeep Talk Show. All the people that are a part of the Jeep Talk Show are very, I mean, I hate to say well behaved, but respectful of other people. So it really is a bunch of great guys. I was asking my wife the other day, since she got to meet a lot of you guys at EJS, I said, what did you think of everybody? Isn't everybody just, I mean, friendly and welcoming? And I mean, we give each other a hard time, but respectful. And I just really like that about you guys. And I really appreciate you you being that way. I haven't had to have any conversations with anybody.
I mean, you may have talked to me once. That's just making your time.
I didn't say it didn't happen. I just don't remember it.
And I don't, honestly, I don't remember if you have or have not, but my past is my past. But that's the thing. It's if someone doesn't like the club, the group, the talk show, they're not coming back. You know, that's, we all have our own personalities. Is everybody going to mesh together 100%? No, it's not going to happen.
Well, that would be no fun if that was the case.
Right. And you got to give each other a hard time. You got to have fun. But again, it is all respectful here. It is all, it's good. And I'm not changing it into the Jeep Talk Show conversation, but you know, just when you're meeting people in a club, when you're meeting people in a group, there's going to be ups and downs in everybody. It's not a perfect world, unfortunately. And it's just have fun, meet people. If they're going to respect you on the trail, yeah, that's a different story. When we're in a chat room, you know, we're playing on Zoom, we can trash each other all day, all night. But when it comes to the trail, it's got to be respect and have fun. Give each other a hard time. Yeah, you know, got stuck in some water and flooded an engine. Yeah, you did this. Yeah, you did that. Have fun after the fact. But it's going to be respectful and take care of each other in that moment.
Well, I just wanted to say I really appreciate it. It's fun working with you guys on here, and it's great having you guys here on the Zoom meeting. And other than a couple of people that we've had come in that were not part of the group, probably weren't Jeepers, just to cause trouble, we really haven't had any issues in a very, very long time on the Zoom meeting. So I just appreciate you guys being great guys.
The COVID days with the bombarders that would come through.
All right. So do you wheel often with the same group or club, or have you found yourself having to move around because you maybe didn't mesh with that club here with this new part of the conversation? Has anybody left a group or a club? And I personally have problems with clubs. I don't like the idea of a club because I think they are destined to self-destruct?
This is Bob in Colorado. I went wheeling. I've gone wheeling with different clubs up here. There are a lot of off-road and Jeep clubs up here. And I've gone with different groups, Toyota and Jeepers and stuff. And I have left groups partway through the run. I've stopped halfway and told the people who came with me, I'm like, let's get the hell out of here. This is not going in a good way. And we need to not be here when the shit goes sideways. So we've left. I've been on the trail up here in Colorado. I've been on trails. You watch them smoking a joint while they're in the car hitting their bowl. We went wheeling with a group that they were literally using the bed of the pit, one of the pickups, as the trash can, which was, at least they weren't throwing them on the trail, but they probably had a case of beer in the back of that pickup before we were halfway through the trail. And I was like, we're getting out of here. You got anybody who come with me, I'm going to lead us out of here. We're not going to stay for this shit. Somebody's going to do something stupid. And we actually helped air up a couple of ladies that had come out for the first time in a Wrangler. And they, you could tell they thought, if this is what wheeling is, we're not doing it anymore.
Well, that's a good point. You really have to think about that, because you're showing yourself, but also too, you're kind of showing a hobby. And this is especially true with people that are trying to close down trails. So it's, you kind of need to be on your best behavior. And I'm sorry if that means you're not having fun.
Rick from Arkansas. I guess I was pretty lucky. The group that's local here, and it's kind of a loose club, mainly on Facebook, but there's a core group that's, the core group of active people are really good people. I mean, there've been some people that kind of on the fringes that were, you know, tried to bring some drama and whatnot in, but you know, they were handled pretty quickly. But, I think enough about our group. I mean, you can see on my windshield on my Jeep, I got an EA Jeep Club on there, and that's some great, great guys. And like when I drowned my Jeep, there was you know, every hand that could get around my Jeep was in my Jeep and working on my Jeep and helping me get it, you know, so I could drive it home that day. Great guys. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be off. I would have been driving around looking for gravel roads to drive down to try to find something to wheel on. And they took me and showed me where, my very first wheeling, very first time putting it in four-wheel drive and climbing a steep hill was with these guys. And close friends with the very first guy that taught me to, you know, that first said, hey, put it in four low, put it in second gear, because I was trying to put it in first gear. And he said, just go up this hill. And I'm looking at it and with all the rocks sticking out of it and thinking, there's no way, you know. But after about four tries, I was up it, and then I was hooked. Now I'm in it to win it.
Where's that guy whenever you need him to keep you from breaking axles?
He was back in Arkansas. He was there when I drowned my Jeep, but he wasn't close enough to. And Gordon, he's about 6'7". I mean, he's a big old dude, and he was like, didn't you see me when I went out around such and such area, how deep it was? I said, yeah, but I wasn't in that area. I was in a different area.
Speaking of by, that kind of reminds me of the guy that came out to the first big Jeep talk show event named Guy, right? He had white. 2 years in a row, there was a whole bunch of Jeepers helping him out, right? So he flopped it on the first trail on year one. And then I think second year he had like a fuel problem or electrical problem or something like that. And
yes, and yes.
Like 2 days straight, that it was like everybody was working in shifts over there working on that 1J all day long, trying to figure out what was wrong with it. It was pretty funny watching everybody jump over there. But yeah, just like Rick was saying, everybody jumped in, did everything they could to kind of help, because they wanted to see him get that thing back out on the trails as much as he wanted to. And I think he even had to drive that sucker all the way back to Houston after that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a quick trailer ride home or something.
Yeah, he was out on TRO, wasn't he? With it, he was having problems with it.
Well, I think he made it on TRO. He tried it at the end of the day after we spent all weekend working on it or whatever. And I don't think he made it very far. He got hung up and had to get, you know, roped out of the trench. But he gave it his all.
Just the belief. Damn it, I'm going to do it. It was amazing.
You know, that's an interesting thing, though, too, when you come up with a group. Like, if you don't know anybody and you go to an off-road park, or you go to an off-road area, and you hook up with people, how do you know the group you're getting with? Like, my first thing is I'll look at their build. Are their Jeeps built similar to mine? Or are they running stock Jeeps? Or are they running, like, monster Jeeps that are all on 40s and maybe you don't even have a Jeep frame, that they've got tubular frames? I'm probably not going to go with that group.
Yeah. Why? I think you can tell too whenever it's like an XJ that is not, it is a, I don't want to be, how can I say? I mean, everybody calls them shit boxes, but it's not let's say it's on 40s and there's no cage to it. I mean, it's lifted sky high. It's on 40s. There's no cage. And it just looks like, It looks like the off-road event is going to be elbows and assholes, and it ain't going to end well.
no straight sheet metal. Every fender's got a bend in it.
I have less of a problem with that. That kind of shows that maybe it will make it. But I mean, it's the one where it's just built to the hilt, and you don't get the warm fuzzies that this thing is going to make it to the end of the day.
Well, that was a problem we got when we went out to Moab as a friendly group in 2020. One of the guys brought his YJ out, and, you know, YJs are very capable, but he'd had it in storage for 5 years. He hadn't been wheeling it. I don't even think he changed the oil. He didn't service it. He didn't get it ready, and he brings it out and blows the motor up on Hell's Revenge.
Uh-oh.
And then we had to throw his on fins and things, and we had to tow him out fins and things up and down those fins.
This past weekend, I was out Sunday. We flipped the Jeep on a service road. We got it recovered, got it back out, and then 90% of the group headed home after that fact. Me and one other guy, my buddy Zach, we're heading up. He's in a YJ, but his YJ's on 43s, coilovers. I mean, it's done. It makes me slightly jealous. But we're heading up backside of Daniel, and we get to the top. Well, A, when we get to backside of Daniel, we've got a bunch of Toyotas following us. And we don't know the line the Toyotas took, but I don't say they took the same lines as our Jeeps. They got to the top, which there is an easy bypass to get to the top. One of the Toyotas headed down front side. And the ledge on that is just no joke. You're looking to 6 foot drop off. Coming up it, it's easy. Going down it, different story. Is it easy? Yes, it's nerve-wracking from hell.
Well, that's all we have time for on this episode of the Roundtable. You can join every week, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact to find out all the ways on how to contact us and how to join the Zoom meeting, the Roundtable recording, like I said, every Tuesday. So, I just want to tell you guys really quick, coming up this coming Sunday, April 21st, are going to be the Jeep Talk Show is going to be at the Katy Crossings Ice House for their monthly Jeep meets. That is in Old Katy. You can just go to Katy Crossings icehouse.com and find out the exact location. We'll have it here in the show notes for you too for episode 1019. I'm going to be out there with the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator. Greg from Underground Graphics is going to be there, and Todd from offroading101.com will be there. Clint with Texas 4-Wheel Drive, great group, great club here in the Houston area. I think they're all over, actually, but they definitely have a group here in the Houston area. So if you're in the Houston area or maybe in Katy, you'd like to come out and join us, please do so. It's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. April 21st, Sunday at Katy Crossings Ice House. All right, so coming up in our next JTS interview, Sam of Off-Road Air Buddy, offroadairbuddy.com. Speaking of Houston area, Off-Road Air Buddy is located right here in Houston, Texas. And if you get one of these CO2 canisters to air up your vehicle, air up your tires, Sam will include a fill-up. And, of course, now you have a place that you can go and get it refilled, too. And that brings us to the end of another exhilarating Jeep Talk Show Roundtable episode. I want to express my deepest gratitude to our incredible panel of Jeep enthusiasts for sharing their valuable insights, experiences, and expertise with us today. Your passion for Jeeps is truly inspiring, and we're grateful for your contributions. Hey, thanks again to Trails Off-Road for sponsoring this Roundtable episode. Sponsor or support the sponsors that help support the show you love, the Jeep Talk Show. Visit trailsoffroad.com right now. So until next time, keep those Jeeps running strong, hit those trails with confidence, and remember, it's not just a vehicle, it's a way of life. This has been Tony hosting the Jeep Talk Show Roundtable episode, and we'll catch you on the next ride.
Broadcasting since 2010.